We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Make the Best of It show Friday. Zach, I don't want to come in here like everything's hunky-dory. My God, we had a bloodbath around Intercom yesterday, so I wanted to make sure. And just want to say to everybody out there, if you've read your sports pages, and of course, Barry Jackson, he gets stuff, man, when it happens. Whatever it is, seems to always get out. So I'm thankful. I'm speaking on behalf of all the partners in the morning here on the show. We're thankful to have a job. We feel terrible for all the others that have dealt with pay cuts, layoffs. And the third word that guys aren't real excited about, furloughs.
Right.
So,
right.
Listen, they're going on everywhere. We just happen to be in sports, and you know what's going on in sports right now. They are completely shut down with the two most popular words in sports right now, cancellation and postponement. Right?
Right.
Those are two words, man, that Hollywood said, man, I'm getting really tired in updates of always talking about them.
Well, that's all he's updating. So, there's nothing else for him to update.
Good morning, gentlemen. My update this morning was an NBA 2K tournament, which begins tonight.
Right. Good luck to all those guys.
And a WWE event that begins tomorrow.
It's already been taped, right?
Yeah, that was my update today.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we've had a lot of stuff. We've been all over the board, obviously. Shows a little bit different these days, and still, you know, a very immature and very stupid show that we do and will continue to do. But we do have a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, what do you think of Sean Payton's plan now? What chance do you think that thing has about going to the old brewery in downtown New Orleans? How do you think that's going to go over?
About as good as a chance of me and my wife to get along for a full 24 hours, man.
Right. Right. Same with all of us.
Right, right.
I had one of those moments yesterday, too, and I said, hey, mm-hmm. Do you have to change your voice when you talk to me? do you always have to, like, you know? I'm trying to make the best of it. Like, and then of course, she didn't let it go. And she came back with something like, didn't call me stupid, but like something that I've done or said stupid. And then I go, so you're saying I'm stupid? And she goes, no, I'm saying what you said was stupid.
Right.
There's a
right.
difference, which, you know, it's not the first
time.
Not the first time I've heard that in my life. So it's not like, it's kind of like having a huge head. Like, I know, I understand.
I get it.
And you're not the right. first one to notice when you're talking to me that I have a large noggin. And my shoulders through the years have gotten smaller because I probably should lift weights and do something about this pencil neck that I carry around. We got all kinds of stuff that we're going to hit today. Some may offend people. We do like to stay with sports, but I got to tell you guys, and I'm trying to get past this. I slept on it last night. The governor's got the toughest job going. He does. The governor's. Everybody in those top political positions right now has tough jobs. Nobody's going to be happy with everything they do. They're trying to keep the economy going, get everybody safe and healthy. But our governor, to keep things open, and I'm not blasting him, I'm just talking, so don't get all politically sensitive on me out there this morning. But this thing about opening up for Easter Sunday masses, right. Partial masses, like, are you kidding? like all the different Christian churches, and I know the Catholics make up a large percentage of it, and I'm one of them, you know, through the three things of life that we go through: the baptism, the first communion, the confirmation, and if you've, and by the way, the fourth thing you need to be if you're really a Catholic, you need to be smacked around by a nun when you're a kid, like one of those nuns. And most of them are not very happy people. I'm not sure why, but if you had one of those old school nuns, you either got jacked in the back of the head or you got the ruler on the hand. I had both. I had both growing up for good reason again. But this stuff about like opening it up, like, you know, if you say, as somebody that leads a church, a Christian church of any kind, a lot of them, you know, don't have names, they're just Christian churches now. But if you tell the people to come, there's a lot of people, especially when you say God says it's okay, they all of a sudden forget about the virus when they hear God because of what we've been taught and what we believe in. But man, and some of these Christian leaders are going, yeah, you can't shut down Easter Sunday, man. That's our big one. That's our big one. And all the other religions around it. Zach, I'm like, I'm not ripping anybody because it is the big one.
Right.
And I don't want anything. This is one of the dumbest things. This is blind love right here, man. This is blind love. As you're getting up, I'm guessing most people listening are going, don't worry, Joe, I wasn't going anyway. And I do want to give people that have common sense, as we're trying to get through this, you can't go to those masses and then bitch that life's not getting back to normal fast enough. You right. can't be on both sides right. of the fence.
No.
You can't tell me you're a stay-homer and then turn around and go to one of those because the governor said, and I don't know if it's pressure from some of the Christian groups and everything else, but listen, man, this is going to be a big divide between now and Easter, which is right around the corner here.
Right.
I just had to get that out of there. I did. 56022, as you're getting up and you're going, oh my God, Joe Rose did not go there.
Well, no. I'm going to be okay with what you said here. Normally, I would jump on you if I thought it was stupid. But listen, it's not just Easter; it's Passover also. There are other right. holidays coming up, and the one thing that I've had a conversation with, you know how close I am with my parents and my family, and we're not the most religious people in the world. We don't go to temple all the time. We go for the high holy holidays. We do all the major events, the major religious holidays for the Jewish religion each year. The conversation I had with my parents the other day was this whole new technology of FaceTime and Zoom and stuff like that. And we decided, and even with my cousins in New York that are always down for Passover, obviously they're not coming down for that, is that we're going to do a Zoom Passover dinner. We're going to get everyone around whatever table, respective table they're at their house, do the Zoom thing, do a couple of the prayers together, have a couple laughs. We're not going to watch each other eat because that's kind of weird, but we're going to do all the beginning part like we normally do together. And then at that point, come to the reality of the world we're in today of you have to stay isolated. You have to stay, distance away from each other. And listen, I understand religion.
That's common sense, by the way. Right. What you're talking about doesn't matter. Right. Doesn't matter what the beliefs, if they're a little bit different or whatever it is around the big holy day or days.
But you also know that I've got really, really religious side of my family that are, at temple every day. They're from Israel. Like I have a very,
but they're still
very,
not going, are they?
No, they're not.
Around? They're shutting down.
I sent
that should make everybody,
yesterday.
Right. That right, makes right. everybody feel a little better.
Right. And I sent a text to them yesterday asking like what their plan is for everything. And their plan is to, hey, why don't we join that Zoom call with you, even though our seders are a little bit different than yours because they last a little longer, but at least to see the whole family for a little while. And that's my other side of the family that wants together with the other side. It's just you have to understand the world we're in now. That's why what the governor said yesterday kind of shocked me, especially after arresting the guy in Tampa a couple days ago.
Yeah. Last week. You're right.
Right
last
right,
week. We're almost a week away from that now. So anyway, that's going to be one that will be a really hot topic, taking the place maybe down the road here of cruise ships, which is the other issue, and how to deal with people and what are the let cruise ships and the rest of them that will be coming in at some point, and we'll have a lot of Florida residents on them and a lot of Americans on them, and what do you do now, and all that stuff. So that's as that's what we got as far as that goes. We've got a bunch of other stuff to get to here this morning, including one of my biggest beasts with Roger Goodell, who once again is all over the place trying to figure out. And I understand it's a moving thing right now. Stay home states, or we're getting more and more of those coming from all the leaders of all the different states out there. And so, you know, it started with Sean Payton, who should have never opened his mouth, but he did, about going to the Dixie Brewing Company, which is owned by Mrs. Benson and the family. And so, like, I guess he thought that was safe because he could say, it's one of my boss's places, you know, and the whole thing. And who he was going to have there, and everything else. And now New Orleans, one of the places been hit hard so far. Louisiana's been pounded pretty good with the coronavirus. So they're trying to figure out. And so, well, maybe we should clean up and let them go back with a couple of people and go back to to the camp, to their club facilities. So they're all over this, trying to figure out. Now, I know the one safe thing they could do is literally everybody go to their house and connect through social media, through Zoom and Boom and Joom and Doom and all the other things that they have out there to connect everybody together. So you have that, and I understand that's not sexy for TV. And I do understand Roger's trying to make this under the rules and everything that we all have to follow. He's trying to push it as far as he can because he wants it. Wants to keep you around between picks and all the stuff, right? Besides the video they'll have of every player that gets drafted and everything. So I think we're all getting that vision of the whole thing. But you guys have to admit, even you, Hollywood, this is not one of Roger Goodell's greatest strengths, trying to figure out ahead of an issue on what he can and can't do because some cities and states have been hit hard. Others in the NFL have not. So it's a tough situation, don't get me wrong. But I think Roger's going to continue to change the rules and trying to figure out, well, should I let? And something tells me a lot of GMs don't want to be by themselves, even though they're going to have other people with them, sort of. But to be in a room by themselves, it's just my gut feeling, scares because they're so used to the war room and, right. You know, your big day and mom and dad are there and your uncle who kind of raised you and your number one cousin who you grew up with and all the people, grandma's there, all the people that are there for our big days. This can be the first time, potentially, the old general manager's got to stand and look in that computer by himself.
Right.
And my gut feeling is, this is in general, this is not a Chris Greer thing. I think personally, it scares the F out of a lot of them. Even though they have support, it's just, again, it's the new waves, you know, with Zoom and FaceTime and all that stuff. It's that kind of support. It's not really physically standing next to you where you can smell the cologne and all the people that you've met with and you're comfortable with through normal life. And so
We've seen those war rooms before when there's 10, 12 people and they're sitting in the corners, sitting around a table, the owner's in the middle, the GM is there, the head coach is there, and you're
well,
right.
Zach, now, normal life, all the coaches right, there. It's a big room. War room got a lot of people.
Right. And I just think it's different now because not that there's added pressure, but there's added pressure now on a general manager who's got to send in that card, who's got to call in, you know, and make that final decision, that final pick without someone around him either saying yes or no or think about this or think about that. It's going to be all on, you know, Zoom, like you said, or stuff like that. But there's a big difference between sitting at a table, 10 or 12 guys, 15 people, before it happens, or sitting online. What happens if there's a glitch like there was the other day with us? Well, all of a sudden, something happened with the online stuff. It's a scary situation they got to live
in. You have to have if that happens, the owner who's also on the Zoom will go, hey, we lost our GM's off, but hey, this is the guy we want.
Right.
Yeah, it could be great. Actually,
ugly, right.
Probably assistant GM or head coach or something. But anyway, we have all that stuff. Hey, we're not going to have time to do it right now, but at some point we've got really strong. Some of you told about us at the end of the show yesterday. Mike Tannenbaum had his big boy pants on at ESPN yesterday about Tua. We're going to have that stuff for you. How do certain guys keep jobs in the NFL? There's a guy that I didn't even know was still in the league. There's going to be a backup quarterback. We're going to tell you about that story. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up here. We've been talking a lot about The Tiger King on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, try to check it out this weekend because it's been talked about, one of the most popular shows right now on Netflix. And it's very dysfunctional, white people, if you're wondering what it's about, in a lot of different locations with all these tigers without giving it away. One guy's doing, the biggest character's doing 22 years in prison right now. Anyway, Ron McGill of Zoo Miami had some really strong comments yesterday at the end of the show. He's going to join us next. We want you to hear it, get your thoughts on it. Randy Mueller's going to join us this morning. Former general manager of the Miami Dolphins. He'll come in. He, of course, was involved in whether to take Breeze or Culpepper going way, way back. He was part of trying to find the right quarterback, and it didn't work for him. We're going to talk to him about all that stuff coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Blake James is going to join us with all the changes potentially coming to college sports. So we got a big, big show coming your way. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, welcome back here on a Friday all over the place. Appreciate, always appreciate, one of my favorite guys in South Florida and a real popular guy. I think people really, really like Ron McGill. And at some point, I'd like to think if you've been down here in Dade or Broward, you've probably been to his house at Zoo Miami. Right. And you've probably seen the big fella. That's the cool thing about it. Like, if you go to the zoo with your kids, that's kind of a great experience. So it's like Ron McGill in the big picture is a great experience. That's exactly what he is. So it's pretty cool. I've known him for a long, long time, and he is what I like to call the big horse. I called somebody else, a woman who I really respect, a big horse. I go, you know what? You're a friggin' – it gave me a real good feeling. We were talking, counseling. And I go, you know what? You're a big horse. And and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it might not be the same with a woman.
She goes, you know? I think that's a compliment. And right. I go, well, yeah, I didn't mean it. And I was like, man, that was a dumbass Joe Rose moment right there. Hey, we got a lot of stuff that we want to jump on here this morning that we are talking about. All right, I got to get to it. You guys tipped me off yesterday before the end of the show. Mike Tannenbaum on NFL coverage on ESPN talking about Tua. And then after he said his comments about Tua, of course, it became a big story because Mike doesn't say a lot on that show, to be real honest. He keeps it pretty generic and talks about, you know, what jobs are and grading things and all that stuff, which is safe, right? You never get in trouble. But this Tua thing's pretty serious, whether you're on one side of the Tua family or you're on the other side of the fence on Tua. Anyway, Mike Tannenbaum came out pretty strong yesterday with how he feels about it after evaluations through the years with the Jets and Dolphins. Here it is.
No, I'm not. In this environment, I simply can't do that for an organization because when you look at the type of guaranteed money you have, Kyler Murray had $35 million in fully guaranteed money, Greeny. You just don't know. You want your own doctors, your own trainers, your own strength coaches to work with Tua, see mobility, to see range of motion. And because we're in this very unique environment, it would be irresponsible to take him in the top 10 simply because you don't have that information firsthand to know exactly where he is.
Top 10. That's a big number. And so if I were to then extrapolate it out further, let's say you love him. Let's say you look at him and you say, this guy, if he does stay healthy, is going to be a superstar. He really is Drew Brees. What conversation are you having with ownership, with the people you work for, about, for lack of a better word, job security in the event the thing goes sideways?
That's right, because it is an opportunity because the upside is so compelling. He is so talented. But this is a conversation you want to have with your owner, your head coach, to say, hey, if we're sitting here in January and he has to miss another year because this is an injury that's hard to predict. It's not a well-vascularized part of the body in terms of you could have re-injury. And I want the owner to sign off to know that, hey, if this goes sideways, remember this conversation. This is a huge risk. And by the way, this player's been hurt two other times. So He is injury prone, and I want to make sure that we're lockstep and this is a true partnership, because I'd much rather take a safer player in the top 10 this year because of the unique circumstances. So I would want to make sure that the owner is ironclad with our decision.
So Mike coming out strong, by the way. By far, Mike's strongest moment watching the ESPN and NFL shows since he started working there. I thought it was pretty good stuff. I did, for people that want to always take shots at Mike. I thought they were something. They were legit. They were fair. They're something to think about. Because I tell you, all the former guys, the Trent Dilfer guys, were all pissed off yesterday.
Right, I can understand
that. And upset, like, dude, what are you talking about? Tua came out. Of course, Tua's on the promotional tours, too. I'm 100%. I can't wait to play. Let's go. I'm 100% now. Matter of fact, I had a voluntary recheck to tell you, whoa, I'm doing great, man. Doc says he's never seen me look so. He says it feels like I'm 100%, never been hurt. I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating it a little bit. But he got after it pretty good, and Tua's doing this, and teams ought to be fired up. And Mike's the one guy, minus all those former players that are working there, that are like, Tua's this, and Tua could be that. And Mike didn't join the good old boy fraternity yesterday on his thoughts about Tua. I thought it was pretty good stuff, man. And it is the one thing. I thought he broke it down. I thought it was Mike's best work. And now people are going to go, oh, it's the best work he's done in 5 years. But this was Mike's best work as far as I do the same thing. Like, all right, you guys got a Tua crush here, which, by the way, we know the Miami Dolphins owner doesn't have a Tua crush because he's concerned about the same thing, because he said it months ago.
Right.
So I'm just looking at this going, that's pretty good right there. So, all right, you guys all like him. I'm going on record because the owner's going to – he is 100%. If you go with Tua, or as far as that goes, anybody, especially with our team, I can't talk about every other team, but Stephen Ross is going to want to be really involved in this draft to see what we're doing and what everybody's saying, because – he's thinking, I'm getting older. I friggin' want to win. I win at everything I do except this so far. And I got a chance to get this right with what we've decided to do here in this rebuild with draft picks and all this money. We've done the free agent part. Now it's time to do this. So I thought, Mike, I don't know if you guys agree with it, but as far as what Mike Tannenbaum said, breaking it down, like, all right, we'll take him, because – it's not my team, it's your team. You put out all the money for it. You're the one that paid $1.1 billion for it. And then everybody else will jump in, and it'll be on record. Mike's going to be looking around, or the GM, whoever it would be, Chris or whatever, and go, okay, all right. I'm going to remember how everybody felt about this.
I understand that, and I understand where Mike's coming from on that. But if you're the GM, that's your kind of decision to make. I know you have to call the owner in and explain the situation. Listen, we're picking fifth. Tua's on the board. Herbert's on the board. Love's on the board. Tua has maybe the most upside in my mind, but he is injury prone, and these other two guys aren't, but I don't know if there's enough upside there. I understand you have to get the grace of your owner if you're going to make a pick like that, but you got to make that pick if that's your guy. If you think that's your guy, you got to sell that guy to your owner. And I know that, yeah, listen, they could skip on Tua, pick Herbert. Herbert stinks, and you could still get fired. Like, it's not like, you know, you're picking Tua and he's the only person that can get you fired in the first round. Any of those guys you pick at five that don't work out good, you're going to get ripped for. But with Tannenbaum, to me, where he's a little bit of a, is the fact that he's always been the splash guy. And if Tua is the splash pick at five, I'm surprised that Tannenbaum wouldn't say, I'd be on board if my gut told me to pick him.
What do you mean? What do you mean Mike's a splash guy? I'm just curious.
He likes to win the offseason. He likes to be the guy that makes the big signing. He always has been down here. The Sue signing, the Wallace signing, the two linebackers that won offseason signing. He loves to win the offseason. He loves to do this. And now he's kind of going against that, because Tua would be the splash guy at five if he's the pick, or splash guy at three if he's the pick. Now he's coming out and saying you can't trust him. He might not be even a top 10 guy. I just think that's a very fraudulent thing by Mike Tannenbaum here.
See, I don't think Mike's a splash guy. I don't think he was involved with those things you're talking about.
He didn't do the Sue, and he didn't do any of that, stuff?
That Sue came right from the top, man. That Sue was a love affair, in my opinion, from our
Mike Wallace
owner.
Also?
I don't know. Is he around for that? I don't know. Mike doesn't go back that far. I don't think Mike goes back that far. So I'm not sure. How many years was Mike there? We'd have to do the math on it, but right. I'm not sure from the start of Mike Wallace that Mike's been around that long for all
but
that
he's
stuff.
Also the guy in New York who traded up to get Sanchez, made a huge draft.
No, you're talking about Jet stuff, and and he's been blasted for that. But here's the problem with Mike Tannenbaum, and I'm not defending Mike. I mean, Mike's got a lot of people that aren't big fans of his. But for Mike gets blamed for everything. Like you know, and then you got to go back and look at years, like what you just did, and a lot of people do that. Like, okay, Mike was only here a couple of years, right? And he ain't making friends while he's here. He hasn't made a lot of friends, you know, a lot of people, you know, that have taken shots at Mike. But I just think Mike's trying to structure. You know, I think the biggest knock on Mike has been, not to turn this into a Mike Tannenbaum deal, because I happen to agree with his point on Tua. For everybody wants to jump up and take him, I'm scared to death, man. He's a glass doll. I am. I'm afraid that if he falls, he's going to break again, because the guy's only going to get bigger and faster. But that's just my opinion. And if he ends up staying healthy and has all day to throw, and it's great, which I haven't seen anybody that's got all day to throw. Everybody gets tackled. And if you don't see something, you know, you get knocked down. You take some big hits like we saw our guy do last year. But Mike, you know, Mike gets blasted a lot for his comments, and from New York to Miami with everything that's happened, and I understand that. I do. Hey, by the way, switching over while we're at this. And A-Rod, I've stayed away from Alex Rodriguez on purpose. I've called it, you know, the great comeback and what he's been able to do with his image. And going from, you know, the way it ended in baseball, I mean, it was bad. It was, he, you know, he got caught in a lie. He went on TV and radio with the lie. He, you know, in WFAN and called out the what was soon to be the commissioner of baseball, and he was going to sue the union. He was going to sue the owners. I mean, weren't a lot of friends in baseball for A-Rod. There wasn't. And then all the stories came out about A-Rod being about A-Rod, and it was bad. And A-Rod found a way to do the greatest rehab job on his image and get back. He's money's never been an issue. Hell, he made $500 million as a baseball player, or close to it, whatever it was. But lately, Alex Rodriguez has been back in the news. And I don't know how people feel about it. Became, and obviously with nothing going on, it's a bigger story right now when we see all these shots of Alex in his backyard and staying safe and doing stuff in my back, and we see him with the kids, and you're going, man, A-Rod's really following this, except A-Rod and J-Lo sneak out to a closed gym when everybody knew you shouldn't be in that gym, right? So they got the private, we got money, and we're famous gym workout. And somehow, and the one that always gets me, I was asking you guys off the air, how in the hell does TMZ get there? How do they get that video? Which, by the way, you know, people are going to say, oh, what a phony. He's doing things in the backyard. But there he is. Yeah, he and J-Lo opened the gym for me, kind of like opened the tennis courts. It's me. Right. While we're telling everybody else to stay away. It's a bad look. It is. And, you know, and Paul DeLuca has been up there ripping A-Rod for being a phony, and it's disgusting, and what he's gotten away with, and how everybody looks at him differently now, and everything. So A-Rod's been in the news a lot here lately with everything. I know J-Lo, he and J-Lo together, the famous couple, and all that stuff. But bad look for A-Rod. Bad look, especially the limo. Like, well, you can't drive a friggin' regular car. What do they get? They got driver and security and I don't know, man.
That's a good way to get caught, Joe. If you're trying to sneak out and do something,
but somebody had to tip him off. Like, who would tip him off that A-Rod's here? Somebody did that, knowing A-Rod's going to get blasted for this one.
Well, somebody, it's probably not hard to notice if you do see J-Lo and A-Rod and a security guard and a limo and all that. I can imagine not a lot of people are out doing stuff, but I can imagine if they get seen somewhere, that's fine. But my question on this is, with all the, the money, the funds that those two have, they don't have like some sort of gym in their own house. They don't have some sort of, I mean...
I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Right. I understand. Look, it's a lot more enjoyable to go psychologically working out at your own house, unless you're super motivated, can be hard. And you want to go and you go to your place you usually go to. And who knows, maybe the trainer was there. I'm sure there's a personal trainer in there with them to get them through it. Because that motivation, that's why they're so popular, personal trainers right now. But yeah, this is. Bad look, but somebody ratted their ass out.
Well, TMZ's going to find out. They always do.
Yeah, but it's incredible, man. Like, you got to give it to TMZ. TMZ gets stuff, sports, and sports are picking up stuff from TMZ that they come out and there they are. And they had to be either we don't really care if we get caught or not with that big sign on the gym is closed. Or not, but it is. And A-Rod's got to know, like, J-Lo ain't going to get the big hit on this because she's J-Lo. But I'm A-Rod. I'm going to be hearing about this one for a while. So, yeah, somebody called me that's not a big A-Rod fan yesterday and said, what do you think, bro? Yeah, I said, it's bad, man. A-Rod's name's been out there a lot. I don't know how Paul DeLuca got started after all these years on A-Rod being the fakest person he knows and blasting him about everything that he's done and people forgiving him. And while a lot of those guys, including Paul DeLuca, is one of those disgraced guys that, you know, is still paying for all the stuff that he did that he said A-Rod did. So I don't know. Listen, we got to get to 7 o'clock out.
You know what's funny about it, though, Joe? Like, I think if someone called you and they're like, hey, Joe, I'm going to open up the tennis courts for you.
You'd be there in a second.
Yeah.
One second.
I had to think
one
about
second.
It.
I didn't even need to think.
But I would tell you, man, that if people saw it, and all the people I know that love tennis are being told they can't go out there, that think it's safe. Because
yeah, and you'd get ripped, and you probably wouldn't care.
Right. Probably right. All right. That's a good point. 7 o'clock. I got a good workout in. I played a little better than I thought today after not playing for a week or two. We'll take a quick. All right, you called me out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back for a 7 o'clock hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.